Now, when I am blue, I know how to help myself. I am calmer and less reactive. I still have my share of bad days, and I need constant reminders to be present and grateful. But I am engaged in a hopeful process. The process, rather than a perfect outcome, is what makes me happy. To be happy at this junction, we cannot just settle for being a diminished version of our younger selves. We must change the ways we think and behave. This book focuses on the attitudes and skills we need in order to let go of the past, embrace the new, cope with loss, and experience wisdom, authenticity, and bliss. During this life stage, we lose some of the long-term aspects of our identity, but we add new aspects and expand on many others. We learn to balance the loss of certain roles with the crafting of fresh and more serviceable ones. Hopefully, we become more gentle and kind to ourselves. My focus is on women who, like myself, are on the cusp of change. I turn 70 this year. Women in their 60s and early 70s are crossing a border, and everything interesting happens at borders. Of course, women may feel that they are on this border at different ages. Chronological age is not as important as health. In the 21st century, we women often consider ourselves middle-aged well into our 60s. Until we suffer a major health crisis or the loss of someone we love, we continue to feel young. Developmental psychologist Bernice Newgarten made this distinction between young old age and old age. As long as we can do most of what we want to do, we are young old age. When our health fundamentally changes the way we live, we have entered old age. However, my own experience is that many of us are between those two categories, with various kinds of health problems, such as failing eyesight or arthritis. We still live much as we always have, but with adaptations. Anthropologist Mary Catherine Bateson documents the extended lifespan of people born after World War II. Most of us have the possibility of living well into our 80s or 90s. She suggests that we call these later decades adulthood too. Throughout this book, I draw on my own experience. I've been a daughter, a big sister, a wife, a mother, a grandmother, and a caregiver for my ill sister with dementia. I've watched my parents die and held all five of my grandchildren on the first day of their lives. I've been a therapist who worked primarily with women. My research has been on women. I taught psychology of women and sex roles and gender at the University of Nebraska, and I have written and spoken about women all of my professional life. I write as a cultural anthropologist and clinical psychologist who specializes in developmental psychology and trauma. In Reviving Ophelia, Saving the Selves of Adolescent Girls, published in 1994, I wrote about teenagers. In Women Rowing North, I reflect on older women. Both life stages are sharp turns in the river, requiring us to expand our identities. As with Reviving Ophelia, this book explores a specific life stage from a feminist perspective, revealing the reality of women's lives as opposed to the dominant cultural stories about us. We are much more complicated, intense, and fascinating than most of America's stories suggest. Our culture presents us with a misogynistic version of who we older women are. We confront both ageism and gender-specific challenges. As we age, our bodies, our sexuality, and our minds are devalued. There are many negative stereotypes about older women, but my least favorites manifest as mother-in-law jokes. These jokes suggest we are nosy, bossy, judgmental, and in the way. Women Rowing North begins a new conversation about our